at least they broke a little bit of a trend that they had going since they've entered conference play, because usually you can count on more turnovers than assists. That part continued, but they actually shot better from the free throw line. We're talking about 76% plus. Still, in the end, the other part that came back to haunt them with the game on the line, not making enough plays in the final 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that no matter what the Vanderbilt basketball team does correctly, something else seems to go out the window. We've talked all season long about free throw shooting being very, very poor, and they did very well last night in the loss to Florida with that. Like you mentioned, they turned the ball over way too many times and didn't have a lot of assists, but I thought they played very good defense. Florida shot the ball very poorly, but they just couldn't get enough stops when they needed them and couldn't make enough stops or enough shots down the stretch. I mean, freshman Aaron Neesmith played outstanding, set a new career high, had 9 rebounds, was all over the floor, but he didn't get any help. None of his teammates showed up, and that's obviously a huge problem. I mean, Saban Lee has been very, very good at the point guard position, but had 5 turnovers and 4 points and 3 assists last night. So it's one of these things with this team. Night in, night out, it seems like it's something new, and when they correct one problem, another one creeps up, and they just can't get all on the same page and turn in that one good performance on any given night to get that first win.
You know, the ironic part about this is it'd be one thing with an awful record like this if they were getting blown out early, but at least they're fighting. So if you're trying to be optimistic about this team moving forward, at least you have that going for you. But at the same time, the most optimism that you can have if you're a fan of Vanderbilt with regards to being right here in the middle of basketball season is the fact that the baseball team starts their season on the road tomorrow as the preseason number one ranked team in the country.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when we're talking about the basketball team, I mean, every Vanderbilt fan knows at this point, look, the season is over for all intents and purposes, and you have to put all your eggs in that tournament basket and hope that, you know, they played the way that they played against Tennessee and played the way they did against Kentucky on the road and the way they played Ole Miss and South Carolina, and just hope they spring some upsets in the tournament and pull off a miracle, because you know that's the only hope at this point for Bryce Drew's team. And then, like you said, baseball season right around the corner, starts tomorrow out in Arizona with just an absolutely loaded field of Virginia, Fullerton, and TCU, along with the Commodores. And Friday night's game is on MLB Network, so what a huge showcase for the Vanderbilt program. Not that it needs a whole lot of help, but still, there'll be a lot of eyes checking that out on a Friday evening watching some college baseball. So, and then, of course, the news today that season tickets were sold out for Vanderbilt, and that's huge as well. I mean, a lot of buzz surrounding that team. You know, I went to media availability on Wednesday, and pretty much, you know, every media member who covers Vanderbilt was in attendance for that thing. So there's a lot of buzz for that baseball team.
Having a chance once again to visit with Chad Bishop. He covers the Doors for 24/7 Sports. Back to the Bryce Drew situation. It's interesting the fact that early on now in his career as head coach of this men's team, you're getting the questions being asked. Should he be brought back or not? That's never a good thing, especially when you look at all the, trying to turn the corner, looking ahead to next year, when all of a sudden you got that kind of doubt as far as in the fan base, where it's not, 100% on the side of finding a new coach, but at least that conversation is out there, and it's never a good place to be if you're a head coach of a program.
No, it's not. It's going to be very interesting to see with new athletic director Malcolm Turner coming in. And this doesn't only go for Bryce Drew. It goes for, pretty much every coach on that campus who may be kind of on that, I hate to use the word hot seat, but let's be honest, on that kind of crux of winning championships or kind of, being toward the bottom of their standings. And Bryce Drew, looking at what he has now, I mean, he's staring at possibly a winless season in the SEC. We all know the injury to Darius Garland. We know how young they are. We know all the talent they have coming back and coming in next year. But the wild card is having a new athletic director, and how will he evaluate not only Bryce Drew, but the basketball program as a whole, the attendance, the influx of talent. Will there be kids leaving this offseason to go play somewhere else? So there'll definitely be a lot of questions, and I'm sure Malcolm Turner and Bryce Drew will have some pretty serious in-depth conversations this offseason about the direction of the program and where it could get better, because I don't know how long the leash will be, so to speak. I think Malcolm Turner will do a great job of listening and learning and understanding of where Bryce Drew is and where he needs to go. But will that be one more year? Will that be two, three? I think time will tell.
Having a chance once again to visit with Chad Bishop. News coming out this week, some additions to the football coaching staff. You know, your thoughts with some of these promotions and new additions to the squad?
Jerry Godowski being promoted to offensive coordinator was pretty much what I expected, just from the sense that when Andy Ludwig left for Utah, there was just such a long time gap there where there wasn't any news. And I just thought if they were going to hire an offensive coordinator to go in a completely different direction from what they had been doing, they would have hired that guy immediately to help with recruiting and to help implement a new playbook, et cetera, et cetera. So Jerry Godowski being promoted to me makes sense from a standpoint of, well, you got Keyshawn Vaughn and Kalijah Lipscomb and Jared Pickney back. You got Riley Neal coming in from Ball State probably to play quarterback, who's a lot like Kyle Shermer in his ability to throw the ball. Could probably run a little bit more, but not a ton. And so they're going to keep, you know, that offense, you know, based in that kind of pro-style, multiple scheme, and that's going to help a lot of the returning players. Now, Tim Horton coming in as the new running backs coach, I think is big time because that guy's been in the SEC for a long time. You know, I talked to a bunch of folks last week, Auburn and Arkansas folks, because he's connected to both places, and they just raved about Tim Horton, the type of guy he is, the type of recruiter he is, and the type of coach he is. And not only does Vanderbilt have a great running back in Keyshawn Vaughn, but they got a lot of young running backs on the roster and two really good ones in Keon Brooks and J.R. Tranreno coming in as true freshmen. So I think that's big time right there as well. And then, of course, Nick Eason, you know, a former NFL player. Anytime you can get a former NFL player on your coaching staff, I think that helps because the kids can, you know, hey, what do I need to do to get to that level? What do I need to do to improve? He knows, he's been there, he's won a Super Bowl. So I think those are two massively big hires for Derek Mason.
Having once again a chance to talk a little Vanderbilt with Chad Bishop. All right, so looking ahead, you know, the big question, can Vanderbilt get a win over these next three games? I mean, now 0-11, seven away from being winless as far as in conference play this year. The opportunity is there for Saturday with Auburn coming to town, a team that certainly has played incredibly well at home until last night. They were 12-1, Bruce Pearl's bunch, until they lose by 5 to Ole Miss. That means that most likely Vanderbilt's going to get a very focused Auburn squad, a team that has not played all that well away from home, coming into town on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough sell, right? I mean, you look at that game Saturday, okay, well, it's 11 a.m. in the morning. Auburn's on the road. They're coming off a disappointing loss. There's probably going to not be a lot of people in Memorial Gymnasium, and that'd be a prime opportunity for the Commodores to sneak up, play their best of the season, and maybe get that first win. But it's a broken record. We've talked about that before. I mean, how many times have we talked about the upcoming schedule? So yeah, they could match up well. They could win that one, and it just doesn't happen. And then they go to Tennessee. I don't think anybody expects them to win at Tennessee, despite playing very well against the Volunteers at home earlier in the year. And then going down to Alabama, a team they've also already lost to. So it's a tough sell. I could sit here and say, yeah, you know, write it down. It's going to happen. I can. I mean, I've seen them lose 11 SEC games and 12 in a row, and each one has been different despite common themes. They found a different way to lose every time. And despite them, I think, having a very, very good chance to beat Auburn on Saturday, I'm not going to sit here and say they'll do it because they haven't proven they can do it to this point.
Well, the fact that Auburn's coming off the loss at home, the fact that they have to pack their bags and make this business trip, it's an early game Saturday morning. But here's the thing. Auburn knows that they're here for a reason. That's to play a game, whereas, you know, Vanderbilt just wakes up. And I think Auburn has an advantage from that standpoint. And the other part about it, you know, we're assuming that Vanderbilt doesn't really have a chance on Tuesday night. The fact that here's Tennessee having to travel to take on Kentucky Saturday night in Rupp Arena, a week from Saturday on the 23rd, they travel to play LSU, a team that is certainly a very well-deserving team of a top 20 ranking. And I could see where Vanderbilt actually goes into Knoxville and part two and chapter two of this story this year, actually put up another fight with Tennessee.
Well, the great news for Vanderbilt, I'm sure they feel this way, is like you mentioned, the more Tennessee wins, the more eyeballs get on them, the more pressure, you know, to not lose, especially at home to their arch rival. Vanderbilt will go in there, you know, incredibly loose, and knowing they took that team to overtime before, and why can't they do it? I mean, Grant Williams isn't going to make 70 free throws in a row again, right? So I'm sure they'll feel incredibly confident going in there. And another factor, I think, is I think every coach probably in the SEC is telling their team, look, you don't want to be the one team that loses to Vanderbilt. You don't want to be their first SEC win. So I'm sure that's a motivating factor for these coaches as well when Vanderbilt comes in. I think coaches around the league obviously know the talent Vanderbilt has, and they show the scouting report, say, look what these guys have done, how close they've played teams. You know, I think I did the math, 8 of their 11 losses have been by about 7 points. Like you mentioned earlier, they're not getting blown out. But on the flip side, I think the opposing coaches to Vanderbilt know, look, you guys know how good this team can be. You've seen the talent on that roster. Don't allow them to come into your building and knock you off and kind of be a joke for the rest of the week in college basketball.